Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You have to believe that you can do something that nobody else has done. And somehow that concept has to become reality.
Somebody's got to make a play to stop this drive. That last run, in fact, again, they push the pile through the first. And the pass is picked off. It's picked off by David Harris, who gets away from Brady. What a turn of events. Now being chased down by Crumpler at the 10-yard line. Suddenly, the Jets' defense responds when it looks like the Patriots were ready to drive it right down the field.
37.
You're listening to No Fly Zone Radio with Victor Green.
Welcome to the No Fly Zone Radio Show, all the way from across the pond. Here are your hosts, Biff Sweeney and Richard Tinley.
I don't know the names of that stuff.
Welcome to No Fly Zone Radio. This is episode number 179. I'm your host, Biff Sweeney, joined here by my good friend, Atlantic Alice, Rich Tinley. How is it going, Rich?
Yeah, all good, Ian. Super Bowl coming up in the next couple of weeks, Chiefs v Eagles. Yeah, it should be an interesting matchup, two interesting games for them to get there. And yeah, we have our new offensive coordinator from the Jets' perspective. We've got, I suppose, from my perspective as well, I've seen Quinnen Williams kind of throwing the offense under the bus a little bit during the week too, which I'm sure is something else we'll discuss. But yeah, still plenty of football talk at this time of the year.
Yeah, exactly. Right, last weekend you went to Dublin with your daughter to some NFL gig in Grafton Street. Do you want to fill us in about it and the fans?
Yeah, it was a recording of an Irish NFL podcast. Guys have started it up again. Just there was a lot of NFL fans from different teams there. They were just discussing the AFC and NFC championship games. There wasn't too many fans of either team there, a couple of Eagle fans and a few 49ers, but that was kind of it. But there was a lot of Bills and Giants fans. I was obviously repping the Jets there with my daughter. And yeah, we got a night. We were asking a few questions, quite a lot of questions about quarterbacks. So they kind of asked me about my thoughts on the Jets, sort of the state of the quarterback play at the Jets. But yeah, I was kind of just letting them kind of know I'd rather have a cheaper guy than the expensive ones that we have been linked with, like Aaron Rodgers, the likes of that, Carr as well. Although, again, even with Carr, I read that he's now going to the Pro Bowl. So the Raiders, if he gets injured, will be on the hook for his money next year. So they were looking at thinking of that they might see movement with regards to him being cut before the 5th of February. So yeah, that's probably something else we'll discuss in the show moving forward. But yeah, overall, it was a very good night now. I got to get my Bentley Shade jersey out for an outing as well. So that was all so good. And we got a few photos with a few replica things like the Vince Lombardi trophy and things like that. So that was a bit of a highlight too. But yeah, it was a really, really good night.
Yeah, going on to the Nathaniel Hackett, offensive coordinator hire. I like it. What's your thoughts, Rich?
Yeah, like, look, the success of the O-line, the success of the offense will be on the O-line more than I feel the offensive coordinator. I think we build a better O-line, or the O-line that we have starts playing better and performing better and starts moving up the rankings. Then I think we'll see a decent offense. You know, like, I feel if our O-line play is better this year, even with the four quarterbacks we did play, we're in the playoffs. You know, that to me was everybody would point to the quarterback and, you know, I'm not saying it's a strength for sure, but everybody was kind of ignoring the real weakness. Like when Breece Hall went down, we couldn't run the football at all. That, you know, Carter looked like a decent running back previously and couldn't move the ball at all. He got Knight come in and done a little bit here and there in the odd game, and you know, maybe there was a bit more, I suppose, holes opening up in the fourth quarter, like later on in games that the Jets were taking a little bit of an advantage of as well. But yeah, like I just think, you know, O-line is something that's been needed to be fixed for quite a while now. Yeah. And we've thrown a lot of free agent money at old guys that come in. We've traded for guards from the Raiders before, thinking that this was going to be a great fix. And, you know, we've brought in guys, like probably some of the more successful guys on the O-line have actually been guys that we've brought in who've been cut by other teams, like late round picks. We've managed to find a few half decent guys. But yeah, overall, it's an area that the team that has been like definitely bottom five, bottom 10 for the guts of 8 to 10 years. So that seriously needs to change moving forward.
Yeah, exactly. Well, for me, the injuries didn't help, but throughout the season, the likes of run game was up there with the best. And then it started to decline. Brees went out injured with the knee. Then Carter started to get banged up. And then they had Bam come in. He looked decent first couple of games. Like that, the hole started to dry up for him. The quarterbacks all started to get really banged up because the offensive line, between being banged up and that, and bad offensive line play, the Jets' season just went downhill. And an awful lot, like you said, it's all got to do with the offensive line. So for me, like, you have to hope Becton comes back and Becton can actually play a full season for the Jets. AVT's going to come back. Tomlinson's going to be there, left guard. Question mark, what are the Jets going to do at center? For me, if Schmidt is there in the second round, I'm taking him. I don't care what linebacker's there, what safety's there, what quarterback's there, what wide receiver's there. He's the guy I'd take in round two. Like for me, you need to go heavy this year when it comes to the offensive line. And Salah said it in his pressers recently. They're going to revamp the offensive line. So, well, and the other thing is, like, our center from the last few years, you look at him, and he's one unhappy looking dude. And he just doesn't look like he wants to be there. And that's what I got off in the last few years. Like, you look at Nick Mangold, he looked like he loved being there. Looked like he loved playing football. He just looks like a grumpy old sod. So for me, I'd rather move on and draft a young top center than bring him back for 10 or 11 million.
You look at potentially if there was like one of the top, like our D top right guard in the second round with the center gone, would you look at drafting a right guard and moving AVT to right tackle next year?
It depends on who's available in the second round, Rich. I'd rather
guy from Florida, I should say, if he was still available, I can't think of his name now off the top of my head, but the guy from Florida.
Cyrus.
Available in round two.
Yeah, I think he's going to be gone round one, from what I'm hearing. Like for me,
I kind of feel, but with the guy from Minnesota as well at center.
Yeah, for me, it's round one has to be offensive tackle. Round two, if Schmidt's there, I'd run to the podium for him. If not, the guy from Arkansas would be my next bet. But I'll get into talking about the Senior Bowl in a minute. Because there's guys I'm looking at in that, and they're standing out by a mile. How good they're looking so far. But like that, I'm coming up to see you and your family this weekend, and hopefully we'll get to look at a bit of the Senior Bowl together.
Yeah, it should be fun.
Yeah, it's on Saturday evening. So, yeah. But yeah,
I was talking about this week as well as is the quarterback from Tennessee, Hooker, is that his name?
Hooker.
Or Herndon or something like that.
Hooker.
Like, talks about him like if he was falling in round two to round three, would you look at like quarterback, wide receiver in the first three rounds? Like you have, you said, like tackle and the center as your two kind of earmarked ones, but like with obviously the needs we have that kind of wide receiver if we cut.
To be honest, Rich, I'm not a fan of the guy from Tennessee, Hooker. I think he's a good runner with the ball, but after that, he's just mediocre. He's in his mid-20s, and like that, he's been in and out of the Tennessee team. Like, he's been beaten out before. But like that, for me, the guy I want is Hainer. And that'd be round three or round four. Or else the guy that's impressed me from what I'm seeing so far in the Senior Bowl is Jaren Hall, BYU. I know it's BYU, Zach Wilson, but BYU, Jaren Hall, he looks decent. But like, Rich, if the Jets go on to bring in a vet, I don't know who, but let's say vet X, right? They have their quarterback, Zach Wilson there. They're in round three or round four and they see a guy they like, even round five. They bring in Hainer, I'd be happy with that. Like, because you've got the rookie behind the vet in competition with Zach Wilson. And if the rookie or the vet goes down or anything like that, you've got a rookie there that if he beats out Zach Wilson, that shows you Zach Wilson's a bust. And this guy, like Mike White, like you've got Jets players still coming out saying they want Mike White back. So for me, yeah, it'd be Hainer now or Hall in the mid rounds. And I'd rather know if the Jets come out of this draft with a rookie quarterback, because no offense, I don't trust Zach Wilson.
Why would you use a draft pick on one ball? If somebody like fell unexpectedly to us at 13, would you pull the trigger? Like if the guy from Kentucky falls was in the first round or something crazy like that happens, would you?
No, I'd rather draft offensive line, because from what I've seen this year in like this draft now, what I've seen this year in college, it's not a very good draft. There's a lot of holes in this draft, but the strength for me in this draft is offensive line. That's what I'll attack in this draft if I was the GM, is offensive line big time. But there's going to be an awful lot of teams, and read out this. It's a message that was sent to me this evening, and it's mind-boggling, right? NFC South quarterback situation, right? Falcons, you've Ridder, Mariota, right? You've the Bucks, Tom Brady just retired today. You've Kyle Trask, Panthers, you've Matt Carroll, you've Jacob Eason, the Saints, you've Jameis Winston and Jake Luton, whoever the fuck he is. That's like, there is a lot of teams this year needing quarterbacks badly. So pick 13. Jets are sitting there, okay? I think it's a sweet spot for the Jets when it comes to wide receiver, because you've got teams there, I think, might want to come up for a wide receiver, because there's only a couple that I think could be first rounders. Like, I'm looking at New York Giants. New York Giants bring back their quarterback. They're going like they've no weapons for him. So they're a team that could jump. Who else have you got? Jacksonville. They might want to still build around their quarterback. You've got Detroit Lions might want to come up to keep building around Jared Goff. And then, like, if there's a quarterback there, you've got the likes of Washington. You've got Seattle. You've got the question mark over Baltimore Ravens. And then you've got the Saints. Saints are back in round one because they're after sending their head coach to Denver. So I honestly think if the Jets can trade back from there, let's say with the Giants.
First round pick away already. Could they not give away the first round pick already this year to Seattle for the trade to Wilson?
They received a pick from Denver for Sean Payton.
You know, I get that. I wasn't sure what the deal was for Payton, but I assumed it wasn't this year's first because they had already traded that for Russell Wilson. That was what I would have assumed.
It must be next year's then, but I'm not sure. But yeah, let's say Jets trade back to pick 25. There's a guy there that's standing out to me big time, and he's looking like an absolute beast in the Senior Bowl so far. You've got offensive tackle Dawyn Jones, 6'8", Ohio State, right tackle. Then you got Blake Freeland from BYU, 6'8" as well. Two of them are standing out big time. And then go grab Schmidt in round two. That's what I'd love.
I kind of agree with you, Ian, on the wide receivers. I think there's probably, for me, I've got about three, maybe four, who look like they could come in and kind of, you know, yeah, perform from day one to a pretty high standard. So, yeah, at 13, you could potentially get the best one there. Will one of the four be there in the second round? I would highly doubt it, but like, yeah, we've seen that they have the potential to move up and, you know, make a trade for a guy that they want. I do kind of feel we will be in the market for a wide receiver. I think these kind of days where we're looking at drafting guys in round three and four, like the way we did a couple of years ago, and try to find somebody. I think we kind of need to find an immediate day one type of guy if we're going to replace Corey Davis and, you know, give another weapon to whoever is playing quarterback. Yeah, for me, at 13, I'd be kind of fine with staying there, not moving up either, for sure. But, yeah, if we move down to maybe the 18 to 20 range, I probably wouldn't mind that too much. I think you have like the likes of the Georgia tackle that could be still available around that time as well, who I wouldn't mind having on the roster next year. But yeah, for me, if one of the quarterbacks, like we kind of expect that there to be maybe four quarterbacks go in the top 10, but you know, we expected like a lot of things. We expected Josh Allen to go higher. You know, rose and fell quite a bit. And, you know, so you just kind of don't know on the day what happens. And just with us being so QB needy and, like, quite a few of the teams and the – like, Aaron Rodgers, like as much as we might be looking at signing Rodgers and the talk about it and stuff like that, it's unlikely to happen before June because if it's
exactly.
It happens before that, the Packers are on the hook for a lot of dead money this year. Like they owe them more than what they would after trading them the 1st of June. So that's kind of unlikely to happen before the draft. Carr, yeah, that could be more of a free agent thing. But like, yeah, if there is anybody else that we're like looking at in terms of quarterback, well, we may have to give up picks that's kind of another thing. Like, are we like better off like then just not getting a cheap free agent quarterback and keeping our picks to ensure that we, you know, get a good tackle or wide receiver or center instead of potentially giving them away for a guy who, for my money, is not going to really work, you know. If he's been traded or given up picks for a quarterback, he's probably coming with a fairly hefty cap hit. So, yeah, I don't see, like, you know, you look at the guys in the top 10 this year, there's a lot of teams with picks that were from other teams that they traded for better players and were supposed to get better. But, you know, I think three of those teams are after getting top 10 picks, just kind of like ourselves with Jamal Adams trade. We weren't expecting Seattle to be giving us picks that high, but yeah, teams that kind of trade and expect one thing to happen, usually it's the reverse lately. So yeah, I kind of hope that we don't use any of this year's picks and trading for a quarterback, and yeah, we sort out the O-line once and for all, and as I said, even bring in a wide receiver, I wouldn't be opposed to that either, because the results there with Garrett Wilson last year is there for all to see. And it's going to be more difficult for him next year. You know, like, the kind of the cat's out of the bag with Wilson. There's going to be a lot more cornerbacks looking at him this year and have tape on him and what he does and things like that and how he gets separation. And they'll be, like, studying him a lot more. It's going to be more difficult next year. Don't get me wrong. I think he's the type of player to study himself and come back even better too. But, you know, yeah, I think it would be a lot easier for him if you had another unknown guy there that could come in and play to a high standard from day one and, yeah, take a bit of the heat off him.
Yeah. Well, for me, if they don't trade back round one, it's offensive tackle. Like, the guy from Georgia, he'd be the guy I'd be looking at. And round two, center, if our guy Schmidt isn't there, I'd go center in round three maybe, and I'd either go D line or safety in round two. That's what I'd look at.
Yeah, I think as I said, fixing the O line, adding a weapon, and if you could potentially find your quarterback of the future, or if something happens in round one where, you know, like if Patrick Mahomes falls to you at 13, I'd be still okay with, like, I know this probably sounds strange, but like a quarterback at 13 gives you a new 5-year window. Like, that's a very attractive thing where you've got 5 years of that quarterback and a very cheap figure. Now, you're kind of maybe potentially as well been at the enviable position of saying, you know what, we can set this guy for you.
Yeah.
You could already have a free agent quarterback brought in the likes of Mayfield or Teddy Bridgewater or somebody like that and not have to rush the rookie in. Like, to me, that would be an ideal scenario if you could draft a center or tackle in round two and you just had an, in general, better O-line play. I think we're in the playoffs next year. Even with a quarterback like Teddy Bridgewater or Brissa or even Mayfield, like I genuinely do. I think a lot of the pieces are there. And I think finding somebody who's more or less a game manager that can do a little bit with his feet at the quarterback position will net us more wins next year than what we got this year. So I think next year we should be looking at adding another 2 to 3 wins to what we did this year. With just improved O-line play. I think keep the money for improving the O-line and building the defense still, like the safety position, the linebackers. And yeah, that's the way I would look at it. Just if something did happen where they did fall at 13, sometimes, as I said, you just can't look a gift horse in the mouth. And yeah, like I wouldn't be throwing the ties out of the pram if we did draft one at 13.
Yeah, exactly. Right, just going to drop some names that have stood out to me so far in the Senior Bowl, and names I'm going to be looking out for myself this week. Like I mentioned, John Michael Schmidt there, Minnesota offensive, this the center He's the top center, 6'4". Looks like an absolute beast, and he can move. As mentioned, Blake Freeland, BYU offensive tackle, 6'8". He looks decent enough. DeWarren Jones looks a big bruiser at right tackle from Ohio State. And then you've got defensive line guy Isaiah Foskey, Notre Dame, 6'5". He's been blown up as well. And then you've defensive tackle Bowling Green, Carr Brooks, 6'4". He seems to be blown up every offensive lineman he's in front of. You've got Jared Hall, BYU quarterback, Jake Hayner, Fresno quarterback. They're the two quarterbacks I'm keeping my eye on. And then I'm going to be trying to keep my eye on linebacker Henry Tuatua from the Alabama. And then you've got safety J.L. Skinner from Boise State. Big, big, bruising, strong safety. They're the guys I'm looking out for. I was hoping to see Alabama's free safety battle there, but he's not there. Rich,
sorry, you just last year we kind of our coaches had kind of control of the Senior Bowl, and we drafted quite a few guys from the Senior Bowl last year. Yeah. So do you think that you know, the same thing could happen this year, that you know those guys that are viewed as like good team leaders, like good work ethic, all that type of stuff, will be probably viewed as more important? And secondly as well, I was just wondering your thoughts, because you did bring up something about the D-linemen as well, who've been impressing, and there's a few nice D-linemen in the draft this year. Do you think we might look at drafting a D-line with, how would you say, like a potential cover, shall we say, for Quinn and Williams if he rejects a new deal?
Not sure, to be honest, but I can see them drafting a defensive tackle or two this year to go with Richardson. But like that, our GM has always said he wants to build the trenches and is big into building the trenches. He's well known for it. And then you've got Salah that wants to implement a rotational defensive line with edge players and keep guys fresh. You look at the Eagles, you look at the 49ers, that's the way they've been playing. That's what he's looking to try and implement. And that's why I can see in this draft, Joe, our GM, looking to the trenches big time. Like offensive tackle, offensive center, defensive tackle, he could go there twice.
I think when you look at it, like Joe's also kind of a guy who's not going to pass up on talent, and if the most talented guy there is a defensive tackle, I think he'll gladly clap his hands and walk to the podium and announce it. So yeah, I think you're right. The trenches are kind of where success is found, like, and has been done for years and years. So yeah, I think it was the opportunity to improve either side of the trenches. He's going to do it this year in the draft. And, you know, potentially free agency too, although those interior guys, any of the good ones, would cost a hell of a lot of money, which we don't really have.
Yeah, exactly, unless they make a lot of cuts.
Well, even that, the cuts, they're going to have to be replaced. And, you know, exactly. I get you can say, look, maybe look at Corey Davis as a like $10.5 million cut, but like, if you're looking to replace him in free agency, you're probably like this. Berrios is $6 million of a cap. You know what I mean? So you're getting somebody quality of Berrios for six.
Well, to be honest,
but yeah, it's not going to be all easy, I think.
I don't think it'd bother me cutting Berrios, because since he got the contract, he's been playing very under par, and cutting him would give more snaps. And you'd be able to move him around more, if you get me.
You look at as well, like Berrios, and I'll give you another example, Robbie Anderson. they all look very, very good on bad teams here. And then when they play with a sort of a bit more of improved talent, they kind of level off. And yeah, like I don't think, you know, that there's more to come from Berrios, shall we say. So cutting him, it would be, yeah, for me, okay. Again, his kick return ability and punt return ability, I don't think it's worth that 6 million. I think he's just above average, if anything. But yeah, I think when it comes to kind of just in general, I suppose.
I'd rather cook it, Rich. I'd rather cook Berrios and give his contract to Huff, bring him back.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, like. Same. I think Huff is more deserving of a role on the roster than Berrios is, I think. And Huff, in fairness, has probably more of an important role on the roster than what Berrios is doing, other than having the secure hands to not fumble a punt or, you know what I mean?
Exactly. And his trajectory is going up since he was undrafted with the Jets.
Yeah, and that's the kind of the strength of the team is the D-line at the moment as well. And, you know, trying to keep as much of that intact as possible is probably a good thing. But then you have to remember, the Jets might be looking at it and say, well, that's Lawson has one full season after his injury under his belt. We expect more from him next year. They could be looking at Jermaine Johnson, you know, after his rookie season to improve their rushing the passer too. So you don't know kind of what the line of thinking is, but I'm nearly sure they had like 13 D linemen on the roster this year.
Yeah,
so you can tell that D line is an important area. So yeah, I can see them carrying quite a lot of guys. It's just in terms of them being cost effective.
Yeah, exactly. Like who's staying, who's going? Like that. That's a big question now going into this off season, and then the quarterback's a big question, and then what they're going to do. Like as I said. Salah said he's going to revamp this offensive line. And he's no choice, he has to.
Yeah, that's the, you know, that's the thing that's kind of has been holding the franchise back for so long. Like, you know, like Chicago had a top 10 O-line this year. They were ranked 10th. And the quarterback looked really good. Now, they only won 3 games. But, you know, like, even the talk in Chicago this year has changed because of how the offense was playing. Like it was something that really hasn't been the case in there for quite a few years. Now they've got, I think, about $100 million in cap space. They've got the first pick of the draft. You know, things obviously are a bit more enthusiastic there. But yeah, like you look at, I suppose, the quarterback in Chicago year one, you know, was Zach Wilson, and this year he kind of elevated his play. Largely because he's a top 10 O-line protecting them and blocking from. So, yeah, I think if we can get our O-line rankings a bit higher and, you know, can give a quarterback an extra second, half a second, whatever it may be, to throw the ball or an extra 6 inches of a hole for a running back to fit through, then, you know, we're in a far, far better place next year.
Exactly. And the other thing that I'm looking to see in this draft is the Jets to bring in later on, a fullback that's actually going to play. Like, they actually brought in a fullback in free agency last year. Didn't play. He was out on IR
Fullback for me is important for a run game and, like, showing another team when you're lining up what you're actually going to do to them. You know, we're not trying to hide this. We're going to run this ball at you and our fullback's going to smack one of your linebackers. You know, that's kind of like what you're saying and with that type of model of football. And it's brute force kind of football, but that's the most successful kind.
Exactly. You look at the likes of the 49ers, they've got the best fullback in the business, but like that, they use the fullback. Like most of the big teams that run the ball use a fullback. And the Jets, when they actually play good football under Rex Ryan, used the fullback, Richardson. The Jets were brilliant running the ball.
Yeah, fantastic, yeah.
Right. I think that brings us to the end of the show. We're about to talk about the Senior Bowl, the Nathaniel Hackett, our views on the draft, and our views on the offensive line. So, It's long for me.
And it's long for me.
Sports Social Podcast Network.